2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of a sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. That he died for all, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Well, as you know, today is Easter Sunday, and it's the day of resurrection, the day where we focus our minds on the wonderful truth that Christ, who died, rose again from the dead. But when we come to the communion service, we're not called so much as to remember the resurrection, but we're called to remember the death. That's why we have the bread, which symbolizes the body of Christ. That's why we have the juice or the wine that symbolizes the blood of Christ. And Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. We can't separate the death from the resurrection. When we think of his death, we think of the one who also rose from the grave and is coming again. And so we do this until he comes again. But the cross is at the center of our faith. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, I determined to know nothing amongst you except Jesus Christ and him risen. No, him crucified. He said he's the center of our faith, and his cross is the center of everything. That's where our sins were borne away. Now, in October, November time, we began a little series of children's talks. In some ways, we're a little bit ambitious. We began speaking about doctrines like the doctrine of justification just for children, or the doctrine of redemption, or substitution, or reconciliation. Sadly, we had to close the church for a couple of weeks. We had the fire break, 2 or 3 weeks, and it really fizzled out in the end. But tonight, I just want to speak very, very briefly on the word reconciliation. We've had it in the verses before us several times. I'm sure you know what reconciliation means. Reconciliation is the bringing together of two estranged parties. There's been enmity, there's been a falling out. These two parties will not speak to one another, they will not see one another. There's no peace. But reconciliation establishes again a oneness, a unity, a friendship. It brings opposing parties together, and there's love again. So in a bad marriage, when two have separated, there's been a lot of bitterness, many arguments, a lot of ill feeling, perhaps hatred, and the two have decided they can no longer live in the same house, and they separate. Reconciliation is when the two come back together, when there's forgiveness, when there's peace, when there's love. And family relationships, when family relationships are broken, maybe a parent with a child or a child with a parent, there's a lot of pain. And then can be distance, and sometimes you hear of people who just won't speak to another relative. And sometimes that goes on for years. And there's a need for reconciliation. Often there's a need for an arbitrator, somebody to bring the two parties together. But in order for there to be reconciliation, there needs to be humility. There needs to be an acceptance that I have done wrong. There needs to be humility in order to be the first person to try and repair the relationship. To go not to tell the other person off, but just to confess, I've made a mess of things. I want to get these things right. There needs to be a prime mover. And above all, there needs to be forgiveness, which involves also forgetting of the past. Now, we read in these verses of the wonderful truth that the Christian is in Christ, verse 17, and he has become a new creature, a new creation. Once he was an enemy of God, once he was opposed to the truth of God, but God has reconciled him to himself and he's been given a new heart, and he's a new person, and he loves God. We're told that all things are from God, and we've been reconciled to God himself through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. We were once outside of the camp. We were once alienated from God. We were once afar off. But through the blood of Christ, we have been brought near. Peace has been preached to us. And we've received that peace. Peace has been made at the cross between us and God, and we trusted in Christ, and we're now a new people in Christ. You could say, well, isn't reconciliation about the restoration of a relationship that was once there, that was once intact? Then it was broken, and then it's brought back together. And I would say, yes, once it was there in Adam. Once in Adam, there was a perfect bond between God and man. Perfect friendship reigned. There in the garden, Adam and Eve had union and communion with the living God. They walked with God. They loved him. God gave them a test. God wanted to test their love and their obedience. And as we know, they failed that test. And the bond was broken. And separation took place. A man no longer approached God gladly, but rather when God came, man was in cringe and fear, hiding from God and trying to cover up his mistakes with fig leaves. And the Almighty God had been offended. Sin had come into the world, and as a result, death. And mankind was now at enmity with God. God hates sin, and we have sinned and broken God's law, and now we're at odds with God. The two parties were now estranged. We were the guilty ones. We needed to be reconciled to God, but God was offended. He needed to be reconciled to us. Now, as human beings, we have a tendency always to blame, don't we? Think of Adam and Eve. Adam blamed God, the woman who you have given me. Lord, you gave her to me. She deceived me, but Lord, you're to blame. And Eve blamed her husband and the serpent. There was always blame involved. And that's always true when there's parties that are opposed and estranged and separated. There's always the blame game. God had never done anything wrong. God was always good. He said, of any tree in the garden you may freely eat. But Adam and Eve had failed the test and were now in rebellion. But the wonderful thing in the garden, God had showed that he would provide a way of forgiveness. He covered their nakedness with skins, showing that he would send his son to cover our shame. If there's to be reconciliation, there needs to be a prime mover, and there needs to be humility. And there needs to be a moving of one towards the other. We as human beings would never do that. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We had no strength, but whilst we were without strength, Christ died for us. God was a prime mover. He was the only one who could reconcile us. We could never reconcile ourselves to God. God had a plan, and he sent his Son into this world to reconcile us to himself. Look at this, verse 18. Now all things are from God. Our new birth is from God. We're new creatures in Christ. And from first to last, from beginning to end, is all of God. All things are from God. And the reconciliation that we have received as Christians is from God. Now all things are from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Isn't that glorious? That doesn't mean that every single person on the face of the earth is reconciled to God. That isn't saying that. It's not saying that God has established peace and friendship and love with absolutely every single individual on the face of the world. No. But what it is saying, those who have been given by the Father to the Son, out of every tribe and tongue and nation, God has reconciled to himself through Jesus Christ, not imputing their trespasses to them. That's wonderful, isn't it? Imagine if you had to stand before the Almighty God and had to give an account of your life. From the time you were born until today, what shame you and I would feel. What fear we would feel. It's interesting, Jordan Peterson, who seems to be seeking God, a defender of the Christian faith, but not a real Christian yet. He said this recently. He's always defended Christianity, but he said, I'm beginning to think it's really true. And he said, if it's really true, I'm dreadfully afraid of God. It's interesting. Because he hasn't yet understood the gospel, but he's understood something of his own sinfulness. The gospel is this. Christ has taken our sin. He who knew no sin, the sinless Son of God, he became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What a wonderful transaction took place at the cross. Our sins were nailed to the tree. Christ took them. And his righteousness was given to us. And now we can appear before God. And now we don't need to be afraid or ashamed or in cringe and fear. We are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Peace has been made. We are friends of the living God. And it's all because of the love of God. And this is the love of, in this the love of God was manifested toward us. That God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Brothers and sisters, as we come to take of the bread and the wine, as we eat and as we drink, let's remember that we have been reconciled to the living God, that we now have peace through the blood of Christ. Now we are friends. There is no more enmity, and it's all of God. We have access now into his presence. We've been reconciled, restored and forgiven.